This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly from Community Waikato and really grateful to have Caroline Peacock with me today. Thank you for coming in, Caroline. And this is going to be a fun conversation. It is getting cold for us at the moment, so anyone who's been in the Waikato for any period of time will know we're coming up to field days. And we're going to have a great conversation with you about a fabulous art exhibition at field days. And I had not realised that things like that even happen at field days. So it's going to be really cool to explore that. You're an artist yourself, and we've got a whole heap of stuff to talk about with some incredible things happening around our region in terms of your artwork. So welcome.
Thanks, Holly. Great to be here.
Let's start with field days. Like I said, I didn't really understand it as being something that an art exhibition might be present at. Can you just tell us what the field days is and then how this fits in?
That's a very good question, and in the past, I don't know that art really has fitted into the field days in a very, very good way. What has field days has been around for a long time. The New Zealand National Field Day Society runs the event at Mystery Creek in Hamilton every year. It's running this year from the 10th to the 13th of June, and it's well underway, being set up. It looks like Tent City out there right now.
Yeah.
The field days is primarily an agricultural-based or rural-based I guess, expo for our rural communities to come together, showcase. It used to be they would bring the animals, and as a kid I remember going there with my gumboots and patting the cows and the sheep.
I remember watching the dog trials.
Absolutely.
That was the most fun part.
Great. Yeah. And the tractor pulling competition. That still runs, I believe.
Excellent.
But what these days is it seems to be primarily an opportunity for the farming community to come together, perhaps. There's a lot to do with rural and wellbeing. But there's also, of course, the ability to buy tractors, showcase the latest rural innovations.
Mm.
And historically, there used to be something called the Number 8 Wire Award, and also Ag Wearable Art, I think it was, award as well. And that's fallen off the radar in terms of field days. So I had an opportunity last year when I met Richard Lindros, the new CEO of Field Days, and pitched to him an idea about bringing back some events to field days to appeal to a part of the community that is probably not necessarily as interested in attending for buying the tractors or cars or vehicles or even seeing the axe and wood splitting. But and field days, they plan 18 months in advance. So the planning was to perhaps do something in 2027.
Mm.
But on the back of working with the David Henshaw Art Trust and running an exhibition at Arts Post last year, we realised that an opportunity existed to bring that exhibition to field days and that all I needed was a barn. And lo and behold, there was a barn.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, tell me a little bit about David Henshaw.
So David Henshaw is a well-known artist in New Zealand who is no longer with us. I've been working with his family and the family trust. David is most well known for Jock's cartoons, which have featured in Farmers Weekly for over 34 years.
Wow.
And in that regard, you would have probably seen his cartoons in the Herald and other papers around around New Zealand. He grew up, I've got a little blurb here, but he basically grew up and travelled around the country. He's lived in Tikiwiti, Kumbolton, I think even the west coast of the South Island, but very much in the rural community.
Mm.
He was a valuer, and so he worked closely with the farming community, but often was sketching and became quite well known for these quirky cartoons that really reflected their time and some of the challenges, for example, that might happen for farmers and their families. And so he was paid, I believe, to generate the cartoons for papers. But he also did do some drawing at field days some time ago. So it was a really natural sort of, something there that connected the two of them.
Yeah.
And it happened to be that I was in the right place to bring that and body of work to the field days. So we've got not only Jock's cartoons coming, we've got his beautiful watercolour landscapes. And
so are they of New Zealand as well? Yeah.
We've got some of the Waikato, Kumbolton, the Rangitiki district, the hero image, if you like, the main image is a beautiful one of the Rangitiki River and the gorge. And we've got several pen drawings, pencil, floral, botanicals. He was actually a prolific watercolour painter.
Wow.
And he had these works in storage in Hamilton, and the family hadn't even seen the majority of these works. So last year, when his daughter Sue and I went to the storage and we uncovered these works in a various state and condition, we realised that not only was there a great ability to have this exhibition at Arts Post last year, that there was further exhibitions we could bring to the fore.
It makes a lot of sense. So you've run an exhibition already at Arts Post.
That's
so I mean
correct.
that's amazing, and I suppose that's given you a chance to see what of the paintings or images need to be touched up, if any of them, after being in storage. And so they'll be well and truly ready for exhibition now at the
Right. We've had several of them remattered and reframed because the framing was done probably in the 80s or 90s.
Oh, well,
So to make the images and the works stand out from their framing, we've opted to take the matting and framing to a cleaner, sort of whiter look if we can.
Yeah.
Some of them are still in their original framing because it suits the works.
Yeah.
And then there's a huge body of work which is currently all over my dining room table where I'm cleaning it, sleeving it, and archival sleeving so that people can buy an unframed piece.
Now,
too.
I was going to ask about purchase because obviously the family will find these are very precious, right, to
very
the family.
So
is there a an opportunity to purchase some of the works?
Yes.
Or are they prints? Are they originals? Like, what is the thinking?
That's a good question. Some of the watercolours that are framed are all original works, beautiful original watercolours, and available for purchase.
Wow.
We have Jock's cartoons that are originals on big panels, and they will be for sale. We have a huge collection of reprints, which they were David got them reproduced professionally, and those are ones that I'm sleeving and cleaning up. So they are reproduction works that will be for sale. There will be some original cartoons in a sort of A3 format, which I don't believe will be for sale because that collection is being held together to possibly go to an archive at some point should that come to fruition. There are original pen works, and there are several uncompleted works as well, which still are amazing to see, and some of them pencil, some of them pen, some have partial watercolour in, so you can almost see the progression through the work.
That is quite incredible. Yeah. And what an opportunity, because, you know, they've been obviously stored away for so long, they haven't been out there on the market, so this is a huge opportunity.
And to see some of the cartoons, I mean, they are, some of them are, as I mentioned, of their time, so some of them I don't think would quite pass muster these days.
That's the point, though, sometimes of these things, right? They are a social commentary
of
history.
Of the time, and some of them are still very relevant. In terms of the message they were getting across. But what is obvious is that the sense of community in the farming community, how important that was, and I think David has captured it incredibly well.
I think this is really exciting. So you said that Field Days is on between the 10th and the 3rd. Is the exhibition running the full-time availability to access? And do people pay additional to go into that?
Or
so their coverage of getting into Field Days gives them access to that?
That's right. So we'll be setting up in the next few days, and when the gates open on the first day, on Wednesday the 10th, the Heritage Barn will be open for people to come through.
So can you explain where that is? Because Field Days is huge, right?
Yeah.
It's like a whole village.
It is huge. It's an entire city. There's about five entrances. So the closest exit or entrance, I should say, to the Heritage Barn is from the Cambridge end. As you come along from Kaipaki through to Mystery Creek Road, there will be a lawn mowing. Lawn mowing or riding competition going on. Not far from us. I think it's Gate 5. It's a relatively new gate,
and it's near where the Field Days headquarters is, isn't it?
That's the opposite end. You're coming from the airport end, we're sort of at the furthest end from the airport.
Okay.
So the gate 1 and 2 and headquarters is by gate 2, and that's near the airport end. We're almost the opposite end of the Field Days.
Yep, excellent. But you can wander around and make your way there as well if you've come in through a different entrance.
That's right. We're not far from the zone where kids can play, and that's sort of further south of us on the site. And we're not far from the big food hall, which will be very handy.
If for some terrible reason someone is unable to make it to this current exhibition, but like thinking, man, I would love an opportunity to either purchase or at least see this exhibition. Do you think, will there be plans for this to be back at Arts Post sometime or
Absolutely.
Somewhere else in Hamilton?
Yeah, absolutely. So Arts Post has a few of the framed works for sale there at the moment, about Great. Five of them, and a few unframed that we've sold since, or had available to sell since the exhibition in August last year. Ongoing, yes, the intent is to bring some of the smaller pieces back into the gallery and certainly yeah. the unframed works that we could sell. But additionally, there are links with my own website, coppermeshcreatives.co.nz. People can contact me directly through that. And in fact, the Henshaw family have David Henshaw Art as a website. And so works can be purchased off there as well.
And thank you for mentioning your business, Copper Mesh Creative.
That's correct,
yes. Now, because I want to talk to you about what your art is as an artist yourself, and it sounds like it's a giveaway in the title.
It is a little bit. I'm a painter and a printmaker. I started off painting, teaching myself, and decided to join Waikato Society of Arts in their printmaking class, and that class didn't entirely suit me. It was an etching-based class, so I went to the relief printmaking class, and given that the tutor unfortunately passed away, I was asked to take that class as a tutor, and 14 years later I'm still teaching it. And
I love it.
That's been my journey for that.
I'm going to roll you right back, because for someone who doesn't paint or do anything, I'm not sure about what it means, the etch or the...
That's a good question. Yeah. Printmaking's a really undervalued but amazing form of art. So if you take an ink, so it's not paint, it's ink, it's more like an oil-based ink we tend to use, and you can roll it up onto a surface, which, say, you might remember at school, lino cutting, potato cutting, and rolling ink onto that and then printing, that's a form of stamping, it's a form of print making. Yep. We tend to use the wonderful presses we have at Waikato Society of Arts. So that's sort of the relief-based classes that I teach, but I also teach how to take a piece of Perspex or cardboard, or even Tetra Paks, the milk bottle containers, even the coffee cup I've got in front of me. I could open those up, scratch into them, or roll, make marks on them, put those through the press, and the paper that comes off with the ink on it is the print. So they are original works, a lot like a painting, an oil painting, and can in fact take weeks and weeks to make. One I recently made had 12 colours, so each of those takes at least a week to carve out and ink up, so 12 to 13 weeks to create.
So that is not the etching, though?
That's the relief base. The etching is a slightly different process. You can take more traditional etching as taking a piece of zinc, layering a product over the top which doesn't allow anything to get onto it. Then you scratch onto that little surface with a sharp instrument, pop it into acid, and the acid bites into the zinc, causing a V. And when you ink it up, the ink sits in that V, as opposed to the relief. When you roll it up, the ink sits on the flat surface.
Yeah.
So it's like the same process in some ways, but ink in the surface for etching, ink on top of the surface for relief printmaking.
So, that's quite complicated.
It is, and again, can take weeks and weeks to make. And then you basically keep putting it into the acid to get various amounts, to get whites to greys to blacks.
Wow.
And then we can also do solar printmaking, or something that's quite popular at the moment, cyanotype. And they're light-sensitive emulsions or surfaces or liquids that you apply. And once they're exposed to the sun, they harden, or the colour exposes.
Is that similar to what you do with photography?
It's not dissimilar in that there's a light sensitive emulsion.
But it's quite a different type of emulsion.
They both need darker rooms to stop the work developing.
Yes.
Similar in that regard.
It's really cool that sort of activity is happening. Can you tell me, so you're still tutoring this.
I am.
If people are listening and thinking, I'd love to go and learn something, you can go as a complete beginner, not done anything before?
I've got students in my class who've never done printmaking before. They started new this term, and others have been there for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And right across Waikato Society of Arts, we have a load of classes for kids all the way through to adults. From beginners through to experienced artists or creatives. And some people come together because they're already proficient and want to just join in and have community and conversation with other creatives. And those who are complete beginners and don't think they have a creative bone
yeah.
can prove you wrong.
Yeah, you
and you're
say
more
that.
Than welcome.
You're We might talk sometime.
But look, my class I run's a Monday night. We have relief printmaking also on Tuesday. I'm just opening up a new workshop for teenagers called Print Lab, which is a 4-week course.
Cool.
Teaching them, you can take anything we find out in the environment, leaves and found pieces, pot them on top of this cyanotype light sensitive paper, and that will develop up in front of their eyes.
So that's really exciting, eh? What does it cost to do a course like this?
The one that I'm running for the teens will be $105 for the 4 weeks per person, and that includes all the materials.
Yes, that's very good, eh? Yeah. What about the other community ones open to sort of anybody?
We have other classes, and it depends if you're a member of Waikato Society of Arts or not. So an 8-week course, which is probably a little bit more advanced, can be $295 if you're not a member, or about $255 if you're a member.
Oh, yeah.
That's for my print class, but others are various. The painting classes might be slightly cheaper because they don't require quite as many materials or use of a press. So
8 weeks is a long time, and with materials, it's very good
materials
price.
And tutoring.
The tutoring's what's critical, right? Because I could get a whole lot of resources and have no idea what
Absolutely.
I was doing.
No, we offer guidance, but we've got a great range of tutors and well worth checking out.
You're doing more than this as well, which is, it sounds like you're actually really busy.
I am busy. I am loving the opportunity that's ahead of me. But it was about last year that I decided to really make a good go of being a full-time, what I call creative.
Yeah. And bringing this to people is so cool, and in so many different ways. Like, I love that you're working with youth, that you're open to the community. That's really cool. But going into the prison?
Not quite the prison.
Sorry. Cool.
I've just been accepted to run a pilot program in corrections here in Hamilton.
So tell me about that, because
that's going to be pretty interesting.
Very interesting.
Running a 5-week workshop series where I'm taking the opportunity to introduce creativity or reintroduce it to wahine who might have been affected by family or partners in prison, or then themselves might be in the correction. I'm not quite sure who they are yet. It's yet to start.
Yeah.
But it'll be a program that runs pretty much 9 till 2 for 5 weeks on a Thursday. And I'll be bringing not only for them to develop up a few creative skills, but introducing them to arts posts, taking them around the galleries, to the museum, showing them how to take a moment in their day to just pop down a few notes into a diary and how to develop that up into a piece of work.
Yeah, I love that.
And ultimately, the aim would be to run this again, but to have an exhibition where they are validated as creatives, and the community, the wider public, can come and see their work, and they can have an exhibition. And it's quite scary enough for people in our classes who've never been involved in an exhibition before to put their work out.
Yeah.
So I imagine there'll be a few challenges with it. So that will be a chance we hope will come through, but we'll just see how we run with the pilot program first.
Yeah, I just think the concept is so cool. Those of our listeners who listen regularly will know the work that Community Waikato and Creative Waikato did with our community houses around Ahua, Tangaki, Te Kainga, creativity in our neighbourhoods, and the amount of value it brings for people with a sense of connection to each other and a sense of success and, you know, belonging, well-being, like all of the things.
It's amazing, even in our classes through Waikato Society of Arts, I find they are quite, there's great connections made, great friendships are made, but also it's a chance to let go of what's been happening in your day, or let it out actually in a safe space.
Yeah.
And I suspect this is what will hopefully happen to in corrections, and that it becomes quite a therapeutic process that you're going through and creating something, but along the way you get to know the person beside you, you get to talk a little bit about your day, your struggles, but all the while doing it in a safe place where you're just in there creating and drawing
and sometimes it's easier to have conversation shoulder to shoulder rather than face to face. Yeah,
completely.
So I love
agree.
That. So really, it sounds absolutely stunning. I'm excited about that. And you're doing something similar then with Retirement Village?
I am. Yep. So last year I ran a couple of pilot programs again in retirement villages, one in Hamilton, one in Cambridge. And they were, again, really eye-opening. There's a real sense of almost loneliness, I think, even in villages. Some people don't like to join and others do. And I had, for example, in the Cambridge village I was teaching in, five or so people who hadn't really done art since they were at school. And they were discouraged actively by their usually their fathers to do art because it wasn't going to generate income or a solid job
and
for them.
And seen as frivolous somehow, eh? Yep, like it's absolutely. Play,
it's not real.
Yeah.
And so I even had halfway through the 5 or so weeks I was tutoring the retirement village customers, they were asking, can we paint with our fingers? It's like, yes, you can. And wow. Shock on their face. And are we allowed to do this? I say, you can. It's absolutely, you can do and be whatever you want to do.
Isn't that interesting, though, too, that seeking permission to do something that is...
It was.
Yeah.
So I'm, I've been very fortunate. Waipa Creative Communities have allowed me some funding to carry on this program in one of the villages in Cambridge this coming up, and I'm just in talks now with a couple of the villages seeing how we can bring arts programs to them, plus the other two that I'd already done that with last year.
Yeah.
So again, it's sort of a series of workshops, and it starts off by often the artist, I'll call them, the artist-to-be wanting to put something onto a canvas, not knowing how to do that. So it's taking an image and teaching them, and they're often their images, how to put them onto a canvas, how to develop the upper painting. I tend to teach painting.
Can you tell me about the range of things that people, like do you kind of guide them through a landscape, or is it people go, oh, I'd like to do faces, or I want to do animals, or like...
Anything. So it's not one of those sort of quite well-known paint and sip where you're actually
paint
given...
paint by numbers and...
That's right, you're given one image and everybody does the same image. Now, to me, it's all about individuality and people bringing something that's passionate to them. So, for example, the village last year, I had a guy bring a landscape, a beautiful split rock landscape. Another lady had bought a basket, a dog holding a basket full of kittens, and she wanted to paint that on fur. Now, that was a challenge.
Love it.
Another lady had a lovely hydrangea, just 3 or 4 hydrangea heads. Another guy, yes, he had a landscape as well. Others, I had more like a stained glass effect. Another guy had an artist that he admired, so teaching him how to paint in the style of that artist was the idea. So it really is just everybody's individual, and it's the process to get the work onto the canvas is the same, but from there it's quite
it could
diverse.
Be anything. Yeah.
Absolutely anything.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. One of the things I was thinking about as you were particularly talking about the program with Rangatahi is the value of unplugging as well.
Yes.
Like, so not being on social media, not being down a hole on some kind of digital device, but actually that tangible touching, you know, engaging with something and then making something rather than consuming something. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I certainly do. One of the things that, because I'm a zoologist actually for my first degree and then an architectural technician, so I've got quite a varied background.
Varied.
So when, when it comes to doing the print lab with the teens, I'm really hoping that, first of all, bags down, outside, let's explore, pick up a few bits and pieces and take that and print them and just showing them how taking a simple object you can create into a piece of art and then putting it up on a wall and hanging it and getting them to step back and evaluate what they might do next time, what they could do to add to it, or if that was just not them at all and go down a different path of how they could take the technique and make it theirs with perhaps some of the things that they do on social media. And it might be that there are cartoonings or gaming people who might want to take an image that they're developing up and make that into their artwork. But that is, so you can definitely take what they're into and bring it to the art.
Yeah.
As opposed to really giving someone an idea of what they have to do.
Yeah. I think that's really magical. How many did you get involved in that Rangatahi program?
Oh, that one's still to be run.
That's so coming. Sorry,
that's
coming,
of course.
Yeah.
Yes, I did do one actually last year out at Karapiro where I was asked to run a workshop, a painting workshop for a client base, looking after the children of people who were going through some issues. And I didn't know what I was really walking into, but it was a painting workshop, and it turned out I had about 35 students aged from 5 to 18. And so that was a challenge. But they got into it, and it was amazing. It was great.
So that's interesting. You can actually have a 5-year-old participate in this and create something as well as someone who's like 90.
The 5-year-olds are amazing because they haven't had that put in a box and you can only do this way. They will explore and go for it anyway. So their natural freedom and curiosity is usually greater.
That's a lot of people in one class.
It was a lot. It was a lot. Yeah.
But what a cool thing to have done.
It was amazing.
The Rangatahi one coming up then, is that open to all youth, or is it focused on a particular, like, can sign up, and is it full? And
it's not full. Tend to only have eight in a class. It's quite small classes where we can give quite good intuition. It's open through, you can book through Waikato Society of Arts for that. It starts, I think, about 27th of June. And it's open to anyone ages about 13 to 18, beg your pardon. So that will be that class. And a successful award might become an 8-week program.
That would be really cool. Yeah. I mean, it sounds amazing. It's actually a bit inspiring. I sort of think, oh, I wonder if I should try.
It is cool. And
Youth one, clearly. No.
Well, we have lots of other classes available to non-youth as well.
Before we wind up, we've got a couple of minutes left. So I just want to go back to talking about Field Day, so how people might access the David Henshaw exhibition.
Thank you. Basically, if you purchase a ticket to Field Days for either a 1-day or 3-day pass, any of the dates, the 10th to 13th of June, we're at site HV7 in the Heritage Barn, and the exhibition will run during the day, every day of Field Days, free for anybody to come through and look at the art. Purchase if you want, but really it's just about engaging with myself and a couple of the members of the Henshaw family will be there. On shifts, so Alistair will probably be around and having a talk with them a little bit about their dad and the memories of him when he was drawing and cartooning around the place. We've also got a lot of books that will be for sale as well, so people don't necessarily want to buy a piece of art, but there's some very interesting books about his story and the work. And, you know, he was actually, going back to Rangatahi, he wasn't just an artist or a land valuer. He also helped teach young people, for example, in the Mackenzie Centre here in Hamilton.
Yeah.
And he helped set up, I think, the art house for children in Otrahonga. So it's very, all it lines up really. It feels quite a nice segue into what I'm doing.
I love that. I think that is amazing. So please do go along and access that. And if you miss it, keep your eyes open for the upcoming exhibitions that will be around. But you want to get in early. So if you see a piece of art you love, you'll have the opportunity to buy.
100%.
And then just before we go, if people want to check out your work or up to any of the programs, how do they do that?
I have a website, coppermeshcreatives.co.nz. I'm also available through Waikato Society of Arts, an arts post here in Hamilton on Victoria Street, which is just beside the museum and the new regional theatre. I work there on a Monday and Tuesday with the team, and would love anyone to come along and join one of the gorgeous classes that we have from Waikato Society of Arts.
That sounds amazing, and like I say, a little bit inspiring.
Thanks, Holly.
So thank you very much for joining us, and that is us for another week. You have been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.